Krishna Prasad with the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarne. Om Agana Tamaranda Sya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Undalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Vidati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitantam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Zvitam Sha He Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhana Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 9 Chapter 9 The Dynasty of Angshuman Text Number 45 Devai Kama Varo Data Mayam Tri Bhuvana Ishwarai Na Vrine Tam Aham Kamam Bhuta Bhavana Bhavanaha Devai Kama Varodato Mayam Tri Bhuvaneshwarai Navrine Tamaham Kamam Bhuta Bhavana Bhavanaha Devai Kama Varodato Mayam Tri Bhuvaneshwarai Navrine Tamaham Kamam Bhuta Bhavana Bhavanaha
Devai Kama Varodato
Mayam Tri Bhuvaneshwarai Rine Tamaham Kamam Bhuta Bhavana Bhavanaha
Devai Kama Varodato
Mayam Tri Bhuvaneshwarai Rine Tamaham Kamam Bhuta Bhavana Bhavanaha Translation. The demigods, the directors of the three worlds, wanted to give me whatever benediction I desired. I did not want their benedictions, however, because I am interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead who created everything in this material world. I am more interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead than in all material benedictions. Please repeat. The demigods. The directors of the three worlds,
wanted to give me
whatever benediction I desired. I did not want their benedictions, however, because I'm interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead who created everything in this material world. I am
more interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead
than in all material benedictions.
Purport. A devotee is always transcendentally situated. Param drishva nivartate.
One who has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no longer interested in material sense enjoyment. Even such an exalted devotee as Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest for the sake of material benefit. But when he actually saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he refused to accept any material benediction. He said, Swamin kritartho smi varam na yache. My dear Lord, I am fully satisfied with whatever you have given me or not given me. I have nothing to ask from you, for I am fully satisfied to be engaged in your service. This is the mentality of a pure devotee who does not want anything material or spiritual from the Personality of Godhead. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore called Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha, the association of persons who are simply satisfied in thoughts of Krishna. Being absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna is neither expensive nor troublesome. Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me. Bhagavad Gita 9:34. Anyone can always think of Krishna without difficulties or obstacles. This is called Krishna Bhavanamrita. One who is absorbed in Krishna Bhavanamrita has no material benefits to ask from Krishna. Instead, such a person prays to the Lord the benediction of being able to spread his glories all over the world. Mama Jandani Janmani Shure Bhavatad Bhakti Ahai Tukitvaye. A Krishna conscious person does not even want to stop his cycle of birth and death. He simply prays, I may take birth as you like, but my only prayer is that I may be engaged in your service. Devai Kama Varodato Mayam Tri Bhuvaneshwarai Navrine Tamaham Kamam Buddha Bhavana Bhavanaha. The demigods, the directors of the three worlds, wanted to give me whatever benediction I desired. I did not want their benedictions, however, because I am interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead who created everything in this material world. I am more interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead than in all material benedictions. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Purusthaya Bhute Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya Desvatarne. Here it mentions that in order to be satisfied, one has to be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. To come to the platform of becoming absorbed in thoughts of Krishna for the conditioned soul is not so easy. First of all, one has to give up all other thoughts. And because we're attached to many other thoughts since time immemorial, therefore, we're not so likely to give them up all of a sudden. And when we're absorbed in many other thoughts, then how is it possible to think of Krishna? On the other hand, the thoughts all have to do with either lamenting over what we've done in the past, or what happened in the past, or hankering for something in the future. So we're always making plans to be happy in the material world somehow, and we're always unhappy the fact that we couldn't do it in the past. Or as it says, Icha dvesha smutena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani samoham sargeyanti parantapa. That all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. So we hate, we desire to become Krishna, the enjoyer and laws of this creation, and we hate the fact that we can't do it. Then Krishna says, Yesham antikatam papam janana punya karmanam te dvandva mohanir muktva bhajante mam drida vrataha. But those who have passed their lives, yesham antikatam papam, not only in this life but also in previous lives, and they perform pious activities, Krishna conscious activities, they practice sadhana, Krishna consciousness, and they've given up sinful activities, sinful desires, sinful thoughts, Then they can become free from the dualities of material existence by coming to the spiritual platform, meditating upon Krishna. Then one won't be concerned with the so-called gain and loss in the material world, because param drishva nivartate. One can see that living on that platform is far superior to living on this platform of existence. If we want to live on the spiritual platform, we can't live on this platform. And if we want to live on this platform, then we won't be able to live on the spiritual platform. So if we're caught up with what happened in the past, we're hankering for something in the future, then we won't be able to be on the spiritual platform. We'll have to suffer and enjoy harm, whatever happens in this material world. And if we come to the spiritual platform, remembering Krishna's pastimes, then whatever happens, it won't really make a big difference to us. And whatever happened in the past won't make any difference to us either. So we have to make a decision whether we want to absorb our minds in Krishna, or we want to absorb our minds in this material existence, this temporary life, where everyone's trying to become a hero or a heroine, and everyone winds up dead at the end. Dead hero, heroine. Anything left is some gravestone to mark billions of heroes and heroines that never made it. And the process is, especially in this age, is chanting Hare Krishna and trying to forget about everything else. This whole idea that, you know, what should I think of when I chant Hare Krishna? Well, it's good to think about Krishna. But how to think about Krishna, of course, it is not that we can artificially think about Krishna. That's not necessary. That just chant Hare Krishna, and if we chant to Lord Krishna, asking him and asking Srimati Radharani, please engage me in your loving service, then if they're pleased by our loving feelings, then the result is that they'll be able to manifest themselves in the form of remembrance. That remembrance is not simply like material remembrance, insubstantial. It's like a dream. Material remembrance, material existence is like a dream, but that remembrance of Krishna is something substantial. That is, that one can begin to actually feel Krishna's presence and the enlightenment and the happiness that comes from associating with Krishna through the process of Krishna Smarana. This is the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us. The process of, by remembering Krishna, just like the gopis in Vrindavan, were absorbed in their thoughts of Krishna through feelings of separation. This produces smaranam, and by such smaranam, one directly associates with Krishna, even more intimately than directly, or in some regards, than even directly having Krishna's darshan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, vipralambha seva, associating with Krishna intimately by remembering him through separation. And the gopis of Vrindavan, they showed us how to do that. That Aradyo, Bhagavan, Rajesha, Tanus, Cha, Vrindaranam, Ramna, Kinchit, Raja, Vadu, Vargene, Valkalpitaha, Srimad Bhagavatam, Pramanam, Amalam, Prema Kumartamahan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur, Idam, Tatraria, Napara, that our worshipful deity is Krishna and Vrindavan. So we should try to understand Krishna and how to understand Krishna. Now the gopis showed us how to intimately associate with Krishna by dedicating everything in his service, and to understand it, one has to go through the Bhagavatam systematically. Otherwise one will not be able to understand how a little coward boy in Vrindavan should be everyone's object of meditation and worship. Unless we study systematically the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll misunderstand Krishna and we'll think he's just like some ordinary person or maybe something extraordinary, but after all, how could he be the source of everything? And even if we accept it, if we don't really study very profoundly, we won't be able to feel it. We'll just intellectually have some understanding, but we'll have no realization of Krishna. And without realization of Krishna, just by book knowledge, one will easily be confused by apparent contradictions. As Prabhupada said, it's the realized soul who is actually self-controlled because he's satisfied with pure devotional service. So one who is actually engaged in pure devotional service, factually in consciousness of Krishna, And Prabhupada, through Rupa Goswami, is a fine consciousness of Krishna as Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavi Tamati. When the consciousness is absorbed in rasa, in transcendental pleasure, it is not that we've understood, we're very advanced in Krishna consciousness, but we're not in ecstasy. That's not possible. If we're advanced in Krishna consciousness, then we must be taking transcendental pleasure in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, what's the meaning of Krishna consciousness? It's not simply an intellectual exercise. It's not simply gyan. It's knowledge, but real knowledge is the feelings of ecstasy that comes from loving Krishna, the rasa. Rasa has different components known as vibhava or vibhava, which is divided into, anyone knows? We'll have a little extra devotion quiz here. How many elements is vibhava divided into? You don't know. So it's alambana and udipana. Alambana is divided into two, known as ashraya and vishaya. Alambana means the elements of Krishna consciousness, namely the ashraya and vishaya. Krishna, the ashraya means the reservoir of a certain mood of love to Krishna, and vishaya is the object of attraction of that love. So generally speaking, just like Mother Jasoda, she's a reservoir of all feelings of maternal affection, of maternal love for Krishna. And of course, Krishna, as a little boy in Vrindavan, a little baby in Vrindavan, is the object of her worship. Her object of worship is not Kishora Krishna, it's little Bala Krishna. So that's the Vishaya. And the Udipan are those things that remind one of Krishna, that increase one's feelings of love towards Krishna. So for Mother Jasoda, maybe seeing Krishna's ankle bells, or his little nose ring, or his little flute, will invoke material affection, love for Krishna. So that's called vibhava. Things that help us remind of Krishna, that attract us towards Krishna. And when one is thinking of Krishna, then comes anubhava, a reaction. Just like a mother, she sees a little child crawling on the ground. So she picks up the little child because she sees him crawling on the ground, and her maternal affection is increased by such an experience, and she smells his head or kisses him on the cheek. So this is called anubhava. Things that follow from the bhava, from the remembrance, from the experience, produces a certain voluntary reaction called anubhava. Things that follow the bhava, the feeling. Just like for the devotees, they hear the Hare Krishna mantra, and if they remember Krishna, then they feel like dancing. And then, when that experience of remembering Krishna becomes intensified, then it disturbs the mind. And when the mind becomes disturbed or agitated by the feeling of happiness coming from remembering Krishna, then the life airs become disturbed within the body. And when the life airs in the body become disturbed, then they disturb the different elements of the body, such as earth, or water, or fire, or air. They become disturbed, and they produce what's called sattvika bhava. Just like when the fire element is disturbed in the body, it produces perspiration. When the air element is disturbed, it produces being stunned, or the hair standing on end. When the water element is disturbed, then tears flow from the eyes. So this is an involuntary reaction coming from such absorption of the mind in Krishna, such feelings of happiness, that the mind becomes agitated, agitating the life airs, which agitate the elements and produce certain symptoms called sattvika bhavas. And when they're just like Mother Jasoda may kiss little baby Krishna, and feeling such maternal affection, tears come from her eyes. So this is called sattvika bhava. Not that she thinks, now it's time to cry. No. No, they involuntarily come without even any thought, just due to the intense ecstasy. And vyabhichari bhava, different symptoms of ecstasy that come naturally from the different emotional situations. Just like Mother Jasoda may have kissed baby Krishna, put him down on the ground, tears were on her eyes, and then Krishna is about to fall over a cliff. So when Mother Jasoda sees Krishna about to fall over a cliff, then her maternal anxiety increases, and her love for Krishna increases, just like Mother Jasoda when she saw Kaliya holding Krishna in its grasp and its coils, then her maternal love increased so much she wanted to enter into the Jamuna to save Krishna. So this is called Vyabhichari Bhava, which I think there are 33 different major Vyabhichari Bhavas. And the main element is called Stayi Bhava, which is just like the ocean of affection. The permanent ecstasy or feelings of love towards Krishna is called Stayi Bhava. So for Mother Jasoda's maternal affection, for the cowherd boys, it's Sakya or paternal affection. For the gopis, it's Madhurya Rasa. So when these combine together, that's called Rasa. And all these different emotions combined together, it results in Rasa. So Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavi Tamati, and that produces transcendental pleasure both for the devotees and for Krishna. That is spiritual life. Material life means an ocean, a bhava, of material anxiety, material vibhavas, material anubhavas, just like we may find $100 on the street. So our bhava is greed. And the object of the greed is some paper that's lying on the street. We pick it up and we want to dance. Our heart jumps a little bit. And tears come from our eyes. And the Vyabhichari Bhava is when some hoodlum who's standing there comes with a gun and holds it to our head and says, "Give me the $100. Then we start feeling great feelings of separation from the $100. And our greed increases to get more. That's our Stayi Bhava, simply greed. We look around for another $100 on the street. So material life also means an ocean of emotions. Everyone's working according to their emotions and according to their intelligence. They're trying to find a nice emotional situation to enjoy life here in the material world. And it's full of varieties of material emotions and experiences. And spiritual life means the same thing, but in relation to Krishna. One, we've tried to enjoy since time immemorial unsuccessfully. And the other, it explains here, that if we come to that platform, then as Dhruva Maharaj said, or as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when one gains this, one thinks that there is no greater gain. And being situated in such a situation, in such a state of consciousness, one is never disturbed in spite of the greatest difficulty. This is indeed actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So the practice is there, it's outlined continuously. It's just a question of our practicing it. Just like Krishna says in that particular verse, Yatro paramite chidam nirudam yoga sevaya. So the seva for yoga is, first of all, withdraw the mind from material activities and fix it on spiritual activities. So it's not like that's only meant for some austere yogis living in some mountains in the Himalayas. They got to do that. But we can enjoy and do think about whatever we like because we're devotees. We're already transcendental. After all, we made the ultimate sacrifice. We put on dhotis and saris, and some of us shaved our heads. What more could God want from us? As far as where my mind goes, you know, it's my mind. I can do with it what I want, or it'll do with me what it wants. Besides that, it's too difficult to control the mind. If I try and do that, I'll have a heart attack. It's too agitated. So our process is different from the yoga process. We're not trying to control the mind because we couldn't do it even if we tried. We just get it up. We get caught up in trying to control something. Just like we're always trying to control something unsuccessfully, and we just be unsuccessful trying to control the mind and feel more frustrated. We can't control anything. We can't even control our mind. So our process is not to get caught up in trying to control the mind. Our process is to get caught up trying to control God.
We're not aiming for something significant like the mind. We're trying to control God. And the only way we can control God is to give our love to Him. Then He becomes under our control. And then, automatically, He'll control our mind for us. He'll control everything else, because we can't control the mind, practically speaking. It's very difficult. But if we try to control God, which is very easy, if we just give our love to God, and then try to pray to Krishna, to please help me focus my mind upon Krishna, then Krishna will give us all the intelligence necessary to do it. If we give Him our love, our effort. Therefore, we have to, somehow or another, withdraw our mind from material activities by our focus is principally not just to withdraw it from material activities and then hope in the future to put it on Krishna conscious activities. Our hope is that we simply put our mind on spiritual activities, spiritual conceptions, try to remember at least the words from the Bhagavad Gita. If we can't remember Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, then at least remember the words of Bhagavad Gita and other books, such books, and then have a spiritual conception. And at such a conception, Krishna is actually in control. He'll give us the intelligence how to realize that spiritual conception, how to act according to that spiritual conception. So naturally, automatically, it's not that, you know, I have a spiritual conception and I have to wait for 3 years before Krishna finally wakes up and realizes what I'm doing. And He sends me some transcendental realization. No, Krishna is always with us at every moment. And if we have some spiritual conception of life based on devotion, then He'll give us more and more intelligence at every moment how to fill out that spiritual conception, how to realize it, how to understand it more and more deeply, so that instead of living in the material world in a material conception, we'll be constantly living in a spiritual conception. And that Krishna will constantly give us the intelligence how to keep that conception, not lose it, due to material identification or material consciousness or material ideas. And at the same time, Krishna will train us up how to eventually, so that we can always feel separation from Krishna and remember gradually His pastimes, either in Navadvip, especially Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, the Sankirtan movement, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his movement, the Panchatattva especially, the six Goswamis, get trained up how to actually enter into the remembrance of Krishna in Vrindavan and his pastimes there, and therefore always constantly associate with Krishna through the feelings of separation in the mood of the six Goswamis and the Panchatattva. Then we'll actually be in the spiritual world and spiritual consciousness, and we'll be able to understand how we've been bewildered by material identification, material ideas, material consciousness since a long time. So there is a process. The process is we voluntarily have to choose Krishna, and the only way we can do that is by constantly hearing about Him. And then if we constantly hear, we form the proper ideas, we get a clear conception, a full conception, a complete conception, then the result is that we'll voluntarily accept the process of Krishna consciousness. We'll understand what it really is, and then we'll accept it. And then when we accept the process, then we'll understand our real goal is to come to the platform of, through the process, coming to spontaneously, naturally remembering Krishna. And when one does that, one is able to chant in ecstasy by associating with Krishna, by chanting with full love and devotion. And then there are different stages of progressive Krishna Smaranam, known as Smaranam, Dharana, Dhyana, Anusmriti, Samadhi. And then one comes to the platform of Sampati Das, where one understands one's real identity. Right now we're dreaming that this is our identity. But one actually wakes up to one's real identity, and then one can begin real devotional service. At the platform of Bhava, one can follow in the footsteps, get trained up by a resident Vrindavan, and in that state one can gradually become expert enough to become qualified in that to take up a particular service in the spiritual realm. It's not that we simply get there and everyone greets us and we know everything. No, we have to get trained up also by the residents of Vrindavan. But here we're also getting trained up how to come to that platform. So it's a training process. We shouldn't think that we already came to that platform. Actually, as long as we don't know who we are, we haven't even gotten near the platform. Even after we find out who we are, that's when the real training starts. Right now, we're just trying to find out who we're not.
And then by understanding, or at least accepting, that my real identity is something spiritual. My real interest is something spiritual, that I have really nothing to gain or lose in this material world except for my false ego. The thing we're most dear to us in the material world, my false ego. You can take anything from me, people think, but not my false ego. People should appreciate me, either being completely renounced. I want everyone to glorify me for being so renounced, or I want people to glorify me for being such an enjoyer. But somehow or another, they should glorify me and appreciate my false ego. But we shouldn't appreciate our false ego. We should try to appreciate our real position as the servant of Krishna's servants. And the more we take that up, then the more we'll be able to understand what is the factual method of coming to the spiritual platform. And if we come to the spiritual platform, then we'll be just like Dhruva Maharaj, Swamin Kritartho Smi Varam Naya Che. Even when we get the whole universe, we won't be very much impressed. We'll only be impressed if we have an opportunity to serve Krishna. So, stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
How is it that by serving Krishna's devotees we get realization and understanding? Is it from hearing from them as well, or just...
Well, unless you hear from them, I'm sure Krishna will reciprocate, but he'll reciprocate so we'll be able to hear. After all, if we're envious of someone, or if we think we're better than someone, then why would we want to hear from them? We can only hear from someone if we're actually in a service attitude. Even in the material world, that's how they set everything up. When you go to the university, you know, the teacher has to stand on some kind of higher position. And you have to show your sincerity because you have to pay some tuition. You have to surrender something. You have to be surrendered to go there. You have to pay your tuition. You have to agree. You have to take a test. Therefore, you have to listen with rapt attention to what the teacher is saying. You have to show him some respect. You have to, you know, if you really want to make him happy, you have to soothe his false ego. So it's the same. Even in a university, they try and set it up so that you become submissive. You inquire submissively. You render service. And then he can give you the realization of how you can pass the exam and get a good job eventually. The ultimate prema pumarata maha. So, what to speak of the material world, even the spiritual consciousness. If we want to, if we think that the speaker, whatever, I already know everything he has to say, and even if I don't know something, it's not really relevant to me, whatever he's saying. And even if it is relevant to me, I'm not going to take it up anyhow. I'm not his servant or her servant. I'm my own man. So unless we're prepared to follow the instructions, it's useless here. We won't be able to hear. We won't. Even if we do hear, we won't really hear. We'll hear whatever we want to hear. Therefore, if there is some practical service to the devotees, then it's much more likely we'll hear. We'll be prepared to hear. We're prepared to practice serve. If we've, and that comes by we heard from them, we applied it within our lives, we actually came to a higher platform of awareness, a higher experience. And then we think, well, this is great. Let me hear more because I want to come higher and higher.
Is that called faith?
Yeah, that's faith. That's what faith means. Faith is based on practical experience. That I absorbed my mind that much, and I got so much experience from it. So let me learn how to absorb my mind more in this activity and get more experience. So the real experience is in the mind for everyone. So everyone wants to get some experience in the mind, and everyone has their process, different types of experience. Collecting butterflies is one experience in the mind, or watching a tennis match is another experience. Or Krishna consciousness is also an experience. So it depends what experience we want. And to do that, we have to hear. We have to use our intelligence, put our mind somewhere with our intelligence. And to gain intelligence, we have to hear. But in order to hear, to have the inclination to hear, we have to hear from persons we have some who've given us, or we have some faith that actually give us the experience we're looking for, whatever it is. We have to have some faith that they know the process. So they can give us the process too. They can give us the experience.
So you're saying the best way to get that is to try. reply someone's instructions or teachings.
It's the only way of getting it. How else can you get it? You can get a little, if we've already learned, because we've applied to a certain extent in the past something, therefore we've gotten some experience, so therefore we're prepared to hear some more, hopefully to get some more experience. And if we're not doing that, it just becomes dry, it just becomes monotonous, it just becomes routine, it just becomes a ritual that we go through. So unless we're actually making progress and getting deeper and more consistently into that experience, then it's just seen as a ritual. We're just coming here, who knows why, you know, because we're a good person. Or maybe it's a pious activity. Or maybe at the end of life, God will be kind and take me back to the spiritual world because He's taking attendance up there in the spiritual world. But that may not be exactly what it is, the process. Otherwise, you know, if it was just taking attendance, you know, God's taking attendance and He sees I'm so, you know, I used to go to church on Sunday, but now I go to the Hare Krishna temple on Monday. Now, if that's the case, then, you know, all these people going to church would also go back to the spiritual world too. But it's much deeper than that. Of course, unless our body is here, then it's very unlikely that we can put our mind here. So if our body's here, then we have a chance to understand that we should also put our mind into the and we can only do that with intelligence. We can only really seriously put our mind here if we actually think there's something worthwhile to hear and then to practice. Otherwise, if we're just hearing, we were so elevated, we'd be in ecstasy just by hearing about Krishna. But we're not so much in ecstasy. Therefore, we have to learn the process so we can be in ecstasy. That means we have to deepen our realization. Therefore, in the beginning, hearing about Krishna's pastimes won't be very so beneficial. First, we have to hear about Krishna's name, because this is the world of names, as it says in the second canto. We have names for everything. Dog, cat, good, bad, or good dog, bad dog. So we have names for everything. So it's a world of names. Everything we look, we're just giving everything a name. But our names is just a world of illusion, our illusionary labels for everything. So we have to learn about what the real names for things are, how to see things in relation to Krishna. Then we'll be able to remember Krishna's form. And wherever we look, we'll see it's the Devamurti, it's Bruti. We'll be able to see Krishna's form. Then when we see Krishna's form and appreciate it, then we'll be able to, that appreciation will give us some taste. We'll be able to understand how beautiful Krishna in his forms are, how beautiful everything really is. We'll get some taste. And then the mind will become attached to that taste. And then our real feelings will awaken, called bhava. And then our real life will awaken. But if we try to jump to the pastimes, we just try and make everything very, you know, have nice classes where we just hear about the pastimes. But we want to understand. We all think, oh, I appreciate it. I heard the pastimes. It was so nice. I felt so good. It's good. That's not bad. But we may not understand outside those pastimes, how everything is a pastime of Krishna. Even this material world is a pastime of Krishna. And that we're in the pastime called being kicked by the illusory energy. That's our pastime presently. So we should learn how to get out of that pastime. Then we'll be able to understand the other pastimes much more deeply. Japati Adare. Anything else? Yes.
Sometimes we can just have that all energy are hard enough, you know, because I know what to talk to me and Krishna comes to God about, so now I can get nice together, things in other aspects in the material life. So I don't have to pay that much attention to Krishna consciousness.
Are you thinking like that? Are you talking to him? This is a personal realization. Anyhow, we've seen that. That's Maya's. Maya has so many ways of tricking us. It's not that. Because after all, most of us, we come out of distress. We come because we're insecure. Or we're just a little curious. We want to get our. That's one of the things. We want to get our act together. So we figure there's some interesting information in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam.
And there are some really far out devotees, you know. So let me hear from this Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. Let me, you know, somehow or another associate with these pretty far out characters. That I'll acquire some charisma and my material life will go much more smoothly. You know, not only that, they'll have a great material life, and who knows, maybe we'll go back to the spiritual world too. And if not, at least they have planets. I mean, that's more or less guaranteed. Anything else? That's pretty dramatic. You can't flood everything with love of God, at least with some blood. Okay, thank you very much. Grand Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.